Ron Van Dam is different than most podcast hosts. He really understands his audience.
They like to be smacked and whipped.
Well, I think we're going to get along just fine. You're listening to The Ron Van Dam Show.
The following program is brought to you in living color.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Hello, what are you doing here?
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Make very odd choices, I've got to tell you that right now. Consider your clicking habits. Well, one way or the other, this is where you ended up. And we're going to have some fun today, so put your pants on. Get comfortable. Here we go. Hey, welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. I am Ron Van Dam. I'm a part of that name. And I'll be entertaining you like a circus clown for about the next half hour. After that, you go ahead and do what you want to do. But right now, you just sit there and shut up. I am Ron Van Dam. You may recognize me. I'm the one in the middle. I don't know what that means either. That made you think, didn't it? They don't have the pictures of criminals on the wall anymore in post offices. I remember that when I was younger. They had you know, the picture there, you know, the arrest pictures of these criminals on the wall. And every once in a while, I remember looking up and going, oh, I know him. You remember? Yeah, it's fun. They used to put missing children on the milk cartons, too. Do you remember that? Yeah, that was fun, too. That was odd. That was odd, putting missing children on milk cartons. By the time they got the thing printed on the milk carton and mass distributed the thing, the kid was probably already found at that point. But nonetheless, you know, I remember every once in a while I'd be going into the refrigerator getting a milk carton to get a glass of milk, and I'd look at the milk carton and the picture on the side, and I'd say to myself, wait a minute. A couple of times there was actually a picture of me on the carton, and that freaked me out when I was a kid. I don't know. Nothing freaks you out more than seeing your picture on a milk carton. What am I missing? I didn't know that. Yeah, it makes you think twice about everything, doesn't it? Well, welcome to the program. I said that before, and I'm just going to repeat myself over and over again until you understand what I'm talking about. That's not going to happen. I think we have a bond together. I really do. Oh, you know what freaked me out yesterday? Speaking of bonds, the handle from my little coffee cup was starting to crack and was about to come off my ceramic coffee cup. And I love that coffee cup because I've put it up to my mouth so many times. Anything you put up to your mouth so many times, you fall in love with it, right? Am I right? So what I did, I went into the cabinet there and I found a little tube of super glue. That is potent stuff, man. It isn't potent. That's scary. You know what? I can't figure out why I can unscrew the lid of a super glue tube, why isn't that shut? And how do you reuse super glue? Because wouldn't it, by property, be impossible to get the top off ever? How good can that glue be if the top unscrews? Ooh, that's an incredible question. Actually, there's an answer to it. That's an incredible question. So I got the super glue out, and I started putting a couple of drops, and I finished putting a couple of drops on the little handle on the coffee cup, and I held it to the cup. But in doing so, oh my God, and this is a scary thing, in doing so, a little infinitesimal piece of super glue got on my finger. And it freaked me out. I was, oh my God, I can't, what, the rest of my life, I'm going to be bonding with everything I touch, or it's going to bond to my skin, and forever I will have this super glue on my skin. It will never go away because it's super glue. Now, the next day it was fine, and I don't know why. I mean, why does it come off my skin like a couple of days later, but not, it's scary. Wow, my skin's going to rip off. That stuff is strong. Who invented that? Why did you invent something like that's caustic? Keep it away from children. Keep everything away from children. Keep your life away from children. Keep the food away from children. Sharp objects, dull objects. Cover your electrical outlets. Isn't it easier just to cage the child? Ron, you can't say that anymore, as a joke even, because they actually did that. Remember the Trump administration? Yeah, unfortunately, I still do remember them. Yeah, they used to cage children, so that's not funny. Well, all right, fine. Too soon? Is too soon? Mm-hmm, I get it. Yeah, no, you shouldn't cage children, really. No, you shouldn't. Wait a minute. No, you shouldn't. No, no, no. But what if... No, you still shouldn't. All right. Wow. What did I click on? Whoa. Hey, I've got an interesting guest on today's show. I really, 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 really do. He's Gordon Javna. That name doesn't mean anything to you. It means nothing to me. Until I found out that his pen name is Uncle John. That still may mean nothing to you. Uncle John is the name that's on tons of books. They're toilet books. They're books that when you sit on the toilet, you're supposed to read these books. They're small little stories and little facts about life and about things that you didn't know, and it's just like tons of fun. Well, Uncle John has come out with a new book called Beertopia. And it's fun facts about beer. So that's coming up on today's show. Facts about beer. Thanks for coming. Ron, I thought I was going to learn about political science or how the universe is formed, but instead you're going to inform me about facts about beer? I mean, seriously. Yes, I am. Oh, great. I love that. I don't like beer. I'm not into beer, man. I'm not a beer guy. In any sense of the word, I'm not a beer guy. First reason I'm not a beer guy is because it gives me gas, immediate gas. If I look at a bottle of beer, I start passing the thing. I can't. It's carbonation. I stay away from carbonation. It's amazing that I can breathe the air because that would give me gas too. Sometimes if I drink water too fast, it'll give me gas. It's just... So beer, I try to stay away from it. I like beer that's flat because the carbonation has left, and yet now it's not fun to drink. So I'm not into beer for that reason. Secondly, beer is not to me a tasty thing. I don't understand. I don't understand why people take a sip of beer and then they go, "Oh, that's good." It's not. It's weird. It's. What are you talking about? Grain is good for you. You like that? The taste of beer. Then why isn't there beer ice cream and beer flavored beer. There's root beer, but that has sugar in it. It's different. Beer as a flavor is like, ugh. It's very similar to motor oil. I don't know if you've ever ingested motor oil, but it tastes just like beer. I'm not sure about that. I just made that up. Another reason I don't like beer is the people that drink it. I mean, you're fine. You're a good person. I don't blame you. But when people drink beer, they get very sports minded and very palsy. I don't like palsy. I don't like to be pals. Nobody ever slapped me on the back and said, "Hey, Ron, pal." I'm not a pal guy. I'm not a pal. No one would ever call me a pal. I'm not into the beer group. You know, to me, a lot of people drinking beer are usually around a television set, screaming at a football team or some kind of sports venue. It's not my thing. It's not my thing, really. My thing is to get a martini glass, make the perfect martini, put on my smoking jacket. Don't smoke, but I wear the jacket, like a robe and an ascot, you know, and, walk around and make believe I'm British, you know. That's what I like, the martini, you know, holding the martini glass. It doesn't matter what you put in the martini glass. It's holding the martini glass. It gives you an air of sophistication. I like the air of sophistication as opposed to the air of passing gas in front of a television set while there's a football game going on. I prefer the air of sophistication. And I like talking like that, too. Hey, would you like another olive in your martini? Isn't it tasty, the martini? Yesterday I went out in my Astley Benton, and I took it around the block, and I went down to the corner and picked up another bottle of the bubbly, and I just put it in my face. That's the way the British talk after they've had a few martinis. Hey, how are you? I was saying with God to you. I was saying it was all bad. It was bad. Yes, and I think and I found it was like, anyway, I'm not into beer, man. I'm not a beer kind of guy. The craft beer. I know what craft paper is. I know Robert Kraft. But I don't know craft beer. I don't understand what that is. It's like craft macaroni and beer. What is the craft beer? Well, it's spelled differently, I think, first of all. And secondly, I've been to some of those places where they make their own beer. And my reaction is, don't make beer anymore. You don't know what you're doing. That's carbonated crap is what you've just made. That is not, that tastes like super glue, which tastes like motor oil. It's not very good. Craft beer places, they get involved in flavors, which is a good concept, but it never turns out right. You know, the banana cream flavored beer, I mean, it sounds tasty, but it just tastes like beer. It's just the flavor never comes through enough. Oh, Ron, I love craft beer. Whatever. I mean, there's a customer for everything, I suppose. I mean, dogs lick their own excrement, so I guess even that's a thing. But I not for me. Thank you.
I prefer a martini. Well, you take the olive and you put it inside of the zone, and I'm glad it was there.
Did I ever tell you my British accent story? This is a true story.
Did
I ever tell you my British accent story? Oh yeah, this is interesting.
And now it's time for one of Ron's funny stories. You could practically hear the quotes around funny, couldn't you?
Yeah, I had just turned 21, 21 of those year things. I just turned 21, and I went to a bar with a friend, and his name was Nick. I remember the name because it was Nick. I remember it was something that you can do with a razor if you're not careful when you're shaving. I think his name was Nick. So we go to this bar together, and Nick and I used to, tell jokes back and forth, and you know, we made each other laugh and that kind of thing. We went up to the bar, and it was a Mexican restaurant bar. Yeah, they have bars in Mexican restaurants. That's where they serve tequila with no other accomplishment other than making sure that when you get out in the parking lot, you can't drive your car. I mean, tequila kills. It's a whole nother kind of alcohol. It really does. You know that there's supposed to be a worm at the bottom of the bottle? They don't do it. It's because worms get in it and they die because tequila is so potent. It's awful. It's just it's an awful, 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 awful. It will take paint off the wall. It's just awful. Anyway, so we're in this Mexican restaurant. We're at the bar, and I look at him. He looks at me, and I said, "Well, let's do something different here. Let's." And we were both single. You know, obviously 21. We're still single. And we said, "Hey, let's do a British accent and see if people react to it." And he said, "Okay, fine." And we were both, you know, actors. We were both actors. You know, when you're an actor, you're not you're an actor. So we're sitting there, and I said, "Yeah, so that was a wonderful trip we had, wasn't that? Wasn't that fine? I find the people here to be quite engaging, don't you, Nick?" "Yes, yes, they are, Ron." And the bartender comes over and says, can I get both of you a drink? It is a bar. And I said, "Yes, I'll have a, what do you suggest? I know you have the tequila here. Is that tasty? What do you suggest?" He says, "Oh, are you not from here?" I said, "No, I'm right here. What do you mean, am I not from here?" "Are you from one of those other countries like England?" "Oh, yes, I am. And so is my friend Nick. Say hello, Nick."
"Hello, Nick."
"Oh, so yes, we're both British. Yes, yes, we're in your fair land, your fair country, your unfair hospitality, for about a couple of months. We're both actors with the British stage." And as we're talking to the bartender is totally he's just dumbfounded by the accent, very engaged. These two girls are sitting a couple of seats away. And they're fairly attractive, fairly. And I noticed that they're listening in. And I look at one of them. We make eye contact. And she's listening to me talk. I mean, how can you not hear this? We were talking a little bit loud so people could hear us. And to see if this engaged more people other than just the bartender. But these girls, yes, they engaged. Excuse me. Are you from England? Why, yes, I am. Yes, I am. Are you? Oh, no. We're from the city here. We've been living here. Yes, that's right. Can we buy you girls a drink by any chance? Would you like to partake in an alcoholic beverage using our cash at this time, and we can engage in conversation and lively repartee and go back and forth with witty kind of sayings, and I can learn more about you and you can learn more about me. By the way, this is my friend Nick. Say hello, Nick.
Hello, Nick.
Oh my God! So and we had a conversation, and it's going on for a while, and everything's fine. We're suave and suave, and we're drinking the tequila, and all of a sudden, everybody's happy. Everybody's happy. Nick and I know that this evening could turn out in a positive direction for us two single guys. And at the end of the conversation, we exchange phone numbers. Nick has mine, I have his. Now, we gave our numbers to the girls. The girls gave us their numbers, and we parted company. And then I looked at Nick, he looked at me, and it was, oh crap, what do we do now? If we pursue a relationship with these girls, they're going to find out we're not British. And he says, "Yes, Ron, you,
You forgot we're actors. That's right. We can say that we were practicing for a part. And we were dedicated to doing this accent and being British people for this theatrical part that we're doing. And that was, it didn't work out. It didn't work out at all. We did call the girls, and they did not appreciate being an experiment. So that did not work out very well at all. And we never did that again. So if you ever consider going to a bar and putting on an accent, it's not for long-term relationships, but for the night, it's a good time.
That was a really funny story, Ron. But then again, I'm in the third grade.
Oh, all right. It's British Accent Day. If you haven't, all the stories refer to British accents. We're going to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, oh my God, Gordon Javna, Uncle John himself, is going to be joining us. But first, this public service announcement.
Are you aware that one in every seven Americans is in desperate need of a dope slap? Studies show that every 17 seconds in America, someone writes, says, or does something so incredibly stupid that they deserve to be slapped, and you can help. If someone you know commits an act of boneheaded stupidity, simply extend your hand with the palm facing to the side, draw your arm back, and deliver a sharp, solid blow straight across their forehead. It's called a dope slap. It only takes a moment to perform, but the lesson can last a lifetime. This has been a message from the American Dope Slap Association and Metro South Podcasting.
Well, you know him as Uncle John. He's Gordon Javna. We've spoken to him many times before. He's back with us again with a new edition of something a little bit different. Good morning, Gordon. How are you?
Good morning. I'm fine. How are you, Ron?
I'm doing fantastically. I know you're out in California, I understand.
I'm actually in Oregon. Oh, which is close to California.
I like to start all my interviews with bad information on the interviewer's part.
But, bad information?
Well, it's not bad information. It was incorrect, basically.
Okay. I live in Southern Oregon, which is just on the California border, so you're not really that far.
All right. Now I feel better. Thank you. I can now progress with the interview in an intelligent manner. Anyway.
Okay.
Yes, I have, as a lot of America does, we have all the editions of Uncle John's Bathroom Reader. And everybody's saying now, oh, okay, I know who he is. And now we have something that's come out that's a little bit different. This doesn't happen very often. We've got a specialty book.
Right. Well, usually Uncle John's Bathroom Readers are, a combination, lots of different kinds of information on a variety of topics. But every once in a while, we do a book on a single topic. And we've done that many times over the years, but this is a special book. This is called Uncle John's Beertopia.
Beertopia. And yes. And this is, I guess, America's love of beer.
Yes. We are undergoing a sort of a beer revolution in the United States. And that is the craft brewing revolution.
Yes.
Breweries, for a long time, there were only very large breweries, and that's sort of we're headed for sort of a throwback, because at one time every area in the country had a local brewery, and with prohibition in the 1930s, that went away. All the breweries, the small breweries, closed.
Yeah.
Interestingly, some of the major breweries stayed in business by a variety of methods. They produced something called near beer, which is like a half a point of alcohol. A lot of the big breweries, it's kind of interesting, a lot of the big breweries had their own brands of near beer. Schlitz had one called Famo. Pabst had one called Pablo. Anheuser-Busch had one called Bev-O, but that's only one way they stayed in business. Anheuser-Busch and Yuengling also made ice cream.
Wow.
And Coors made glassware and pottery, and they all made, all the big breweries that could possibly stay in business, they made malt extract, which was supposedly used for baking, but, you know, wink, wink, it was really used for home brewing. Mm. In fact, there were a lot of home brewers during Prohibition. But after Prohibition ended and beer came back, the number of breweries still didn't grow as far as, before Prohibition, there were about 750 breweries in the United States, and by the 1960s, there were still, there were 200. There were none, obviously, during Prohibition, but then when they came back, they didn't come back in a big way, but now there are about 3,000 breweries in the United States. So amazing. We're experiencing something of a beer renaissance in the United States.
Even if one doesn't drink beer, as I tend not to, because there's so many finer alcohols that can get me to my destination quicker, but I still find it to be an incredible social phenomenon across the world. And in true Uncle John's form, my favorite section in this book, by the way, it's a nice little book called Beertopia, 83 funny craft beer names. This is some of the funniest stuff I've ever seen in my life. And these are actually true names of craft beers. Spicy Fishwife is my favorite.
Yeast, I like Audrey Hepburn.
Audrey Hepburn. Eustace Christ. This is fun. I mean, it's just, and it just goes on and on and on, and there's a lot of them.
I have to read some of them. There's yes. Smooth Hopperator, Pork Slap Pale Ale, Java the Nut, Overhopulation, Spicy Fishwife.
Yes.
I mean, it's just sort of one of the traditions of the of craft brewers is that they come up with funny names for their beers, but
it's funny, and this is
so you said true Uncle John's fashion. Well, what's fascinating about beer, what we found in putting this book together, is that there are so many different aspects of this, and you know, you could pretty much say this about any anything that any kind of industry like this. There's there's lingo. There's if you want to sound like a beer geek, you can learn about what. Some of the aspects of beer are diacetyls and esters, which are flavor compounds. Diacetyls, by the way, is the butterscotch flavor that sometimes you taste in beer, or alpha acids, which is the bitter acid from hops. But you can also learn about hangover cures. There are ancient hangover cures that we talk about here. One that Pliny the Elder wrote about was fried canaries. Way to cure hangovers. And in Germany, they like pickled herring. And there's some scientific basis for having pickled products or even pickled juice as a hangover cure, because it's the salt and minerals brings electrolytes to your system, which helps cure the hangover. There's also... Yeah. The American cure, which is hair of the dog, Bloody Mary in the morning after, which also has some basis in scientific fact, in that your blood alcohol level really dips below normal about 12 hours after your peak being drunk, and that weak Bloody Mary will actually will pick you up a little bit. So, I mean, I'm not recommending it, but I'm just saying that it actually works.
I'll take it.
We have some weird beer flavors. Again, true Uncle John fashion, we have weird beer flavors. There's one brewery in California that makes a beer at Christmas time that's flavored with frankincense and myrrh. There's a brewery in New Jersey that makes a creme brulee flavored beer.
That sounds good. It just doesn't stop. And interestingly enough, you would think in the United States, with all these sporting venues and all that, and all the guys who never change their underpants, that this would be like the top, definitely within the top 10 countries of beer drinkers. Are they?
No, the U.S. is not in the top 10.
Wow. Amazing.
You asked me what the top one is, and I don't remember, but... That's the problem with being Uncle John, is that you learn so many things that you can't remember ever all of them. But I know the U.S. is not in the top 10.
Wow. That's amazing in itself. Yeah, I would assume the European countries, yeah.
And talking about true Uncle John fashion, I again, one of our favorite things to write about in everything is flops.
Flops.
You know, for every fad that goes up, yes, there's a few that fail, and those are always kind of interesting. There's a beer that was made in the 1980s called Nude Beer that didn't do that well. There's nothing special about the beer except that they had a picture of a naked lady on the can. That didn't
work.
Do too well.
That worked for me.
Yeah. But my favorite flop is the is one from the 1960s called Hoppin' Gator. And it was a combination of Gatorade and beer, sort of like a Shandy, you know, which is lemonade and beer. Mm-hmm. But the American version is with Gatorade. And it was developed by the same guy that developed Gatorade. For those that don't know, Gatorade was developed in Florida, mm-hmm, named after the Florida Gators, the University of California, mm-hmm, University of Florida, mm-hmm, football team. Mm-hmm. And it was it was a sports drink. Well, somebody decided to combine them, and they made this product called Hoppin' Gator. And it was actually manufactured for about 3 years, from 69 to 72. But that was it. It's gone.
Gordon, have you or any members of your staff won thousands and millions of dollars in prizes playing trivia games?
You know, I've been kicked out of trivia games, so I don't. You know, you mean like the local the local pub?
Yeah.
Yeah. No. So I don't go to this. But one guy on our staff actually went on Jeopardy.
Oh.
Yeah, and he lost.
Well, because this is...
He did very well for the first half, and then he bet it all on a question that he got wrong, so he didn't.
Yes,
but you did get an article out of it. I lost on Jeopardy.
But you know, your staff has a different kind of knowledge of things that are social and actual real life street stuff, as opposed to Jeopardy, where what's the capital of Israel? That's not, who cares?
Yeah,
you know,
right.
Who cares? You know, you're talking about stuff that people encounter on a daily basis and don't really know the story behind everything that they do encounter on a daily basis. So it's almost like, I think it should be curriculum in school, but I don't know, maybe I'm going too far.
No, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I'm with you because we like to know the stories of everything, and everything has a story, and that's part of the thing about Uncle John's Bathroom Reader, or all of the Uncle John's books, is that we sort of focus on this aspect of whatever it is we're writing about that is just about fun, you know, just things you want to know. I mean, there's a section in Beertopia on beer games, or drinking games,
mm-hmm,
and I've never played one of these games, but there's this great one that I found from the 1800s. It's called Nagelspielen, mm-hmm, which is a German game. Where the object is to, Nagelspielen means nail play, I think, and it means you hit a nail on the head with an axe, but not the flat end, the pointy end of an axe. And if you get it in, everybody else has to drink.
Yeah, that's not a good idea when people are drinking. Probably.
I know. But there's also another game that we found called Buffalo Club, which is sort of based on Wild West. You know, we have to have your dominant hand free because you don't know, you know, if you're going to have to, I don't know if this is true, but this is what I read there, you're going to have to draw. But the idea is you drink with your non-dominant hand, your righty, you drink with your left hand, your lefty, you drink with your right hand.
Yeah.
And if you catch somebody drinking with their wrong hand, they have to down a drink as fast as they can, and if you call and you yell out Buffalo, but if you yell Buffalo and you are wrong, then you have to drink. So
you
could play that today. That's an old game, but you could play that today.
I'm playing it now as we're speaking, as a matter of fact. Hey, Gordon, you have a contest going on your website, I understand.
We do, don't we? what are we giving away? That's what they told me. We're giving away. What are we giving away?
We're giving away
a set of books.
Yeah.
Which is about 80 of bathroom readers.
Yeah.
And I think we're giving away a book a day on our website.
Cool.
On our Facebook page.
All right. Well, the website is bathroomreader.com. Simple, mm-hmm. simple.
And you know what? But wait a minute, mm-hmm. Ron. You know why we're giving it away, giving away books?
Oh, it's an
because
anniversary.
June is, June is bathroom reading month.
Yes, of course. as proclaimed by the government.
It's a registered holiday.
Yes, it is indeed. So, but go to the website.
We registered it. That's how I know.
That's right. I'm sure you do. Bathroomreader.com has all the information. And, of course, go to Facebook and look it up as well. Win some prizes and become a bathroom junkie. I don't know what that would be called. But
devotee.
What are the followers called? Is there an actual name for people who follow?
No.
Okay.
Do you have a suggestion?
I do, but I can't say it. I don't know. I'd have to think about it, but I'm sure it would be interesting. Gordon, always fun to talk to you. Good times, and we'll talk to you the next time around. And then congratulations on Beertopia, available everywhere. Thank you, sir.
Thanks very much, Ron.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, that'll do it for today. Did you have a good time? No? Oh, all right, fine. I'm going to be back again tomorrow. Give me another shot tomorrow. It's going to be a big, big program. It is. I have an incredible guest tomorrow. I'm not going to tell you who it is. All I can say is there's going to be some disclaimers involved in talking to my guest. Yeah, it's going to get nuts. But until then, you take care of yourself. Wear a mask, please. And... Be good. I wish you peace.